let's do this. In a week where the football world is rocked by legitimate tragedy, we pay our respects briefly and then talk about football. You're listening to the In Airplane Repair podcast. To In Airplane Repair, the most uncensored, unedited and unprofessional football conversation on the internet. Joining me this week, as always, it's the only one of us who has coached a team, Jasper Kawaja.
Hello, welcome.
How are you? Quite late today?
Yeah, I was a little bit late arriving, apologies, but I'm here to talk about football.
Do you have an excuse?
I was eating food.
Oh, wow. That brings me to another one of us who's eating food. The only one of us who's played the game at the highest level. Luke Stamper is here. Luke, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And it's very good to be here. Very hungry, but apart from that... Actually, I'm hungry to talk about football. You know, hungry in the metaphorical and the literal sense right now.
And what,
let's go. Let's do this.
What is... I was going to talk about your pasta, but see, your whole point was you want to talk about football. And there's no Otto underscore Wolf this week, so we're going to back up our arguments without statistics and facts. And we're gonna turn instead to raw passion. Nobody knows passion better than our fan on the road at the J Doggy Dog. Welcome.
You. It's good to be here.
And you've got a bit of a cold? Alright.
That's kind of... The fact that he's frozen...
I think it, like, busted the cold out. Oh.
Yeah. So you froze for a bit there, but you're ill.
That's kind of appropriate, because freezing is a cold, you know? That's some association between frozen and coldness, and he's got a cold... Couldn't have been more appropriate, I think.
You were so cold, you froze.
I'm glad.
All right, let's talk about the Premier League action. Okay, I reckon potentially the game that was hyped up the most, for me, reasons such as the pitch, such as Pochettino being in a bad mood, was Spurs 0, Manchester City 1. Jasper Kawaja, is it correct to play a football game on a pitch of that standard?
Hard to say, really. I saw some people arguing that Tottenham should be fined because, not because of the Wembley pitch, but their stadium was supposed to be sorted by now. That's why there's this clash with the NFL.
That'd be a bit of a kick in the teeth, wouldn't it? You're spending extra money on your stadium. Give us some extra money.
Exactly.
Wait, and fined by who?
I suppose the Premier League, because it wasn't adequate. I think... It's a tricky one. Every Sunday league player will say, we play on that every week and I'll score a banger from 30 yards, so why can't they?
Did you say boner?
Banger.
Boner. Alright, so in terms of the... Did it affect the game? I think it probably did. It was a bit of a weird game.
Yeah, it did. Obviously, it was bad out wide and then it was bad in central. It was really hard to dribble, I found. It was sort of like an Astro pitch where it was really skiddy, so it would run away from players quite quickly. I still thought it was a pretty good game.
Yes.
It's one of those games that you always look forward to in the calendar.
Totally.
Potentially, it could have been more exciting, but... You still got to see
it had
football.
The feel at times of a game where you thought Spurs were going to seriously lose.
Yeah.
But they kind of hung on.
They hung on, and they even sort of had parts of the game they were in control, but they really couldn't get close to scoring except for a couple of massive chances.
Yeah. Luke, you've played the game. You must have played on poor pitches.
In fact, it took me back to a couple of years ago when it was the Oxford Cambridge second team varsity match. So like not the most important match, but you know you think like still a bit of an occasion. And we turned up to the pitch, and not only apparently had there been a football match played on it the night before.
Yeah.
But as we were arriving, there was a rugby match finishing. And like, the entire thing was just mud.
Oh, yeah.
And like as our minibus pulled up, our captain was like, "Right, nobody's allowed to talk about the pitch." And which is an interesting tactic, and we won the game 1-0. It was like it really does affect the game when the pitch is really bad. Like it just like people were slipping all over the place. The ball like stops when it's muddy, which it looked like yeah, that was kind of the case. Spurs and City, like in muddy patches, it was like it wouldn't. The passes weren't like fizzing through; they were bobbling and slowing down. So obviously, like it takes away a bit.
Not ideal. Not ideal for a Pep Guardiola side. Johnny, it wasn't the most well-attended game Spurs ever played at Wembley. Is that due to the fact that it was on a Monday night, or was it more down to the fact that there's just this kind of mood around Tottenham at the moment that, you know, it's all a bit doom and gloom?
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit of both. But it is weird, because it is their best start for how long? It's like 10 years or something.
It's a lot. I think it's their best ever start.
Before the City game, it was their best ever start to a season.
Yeah.
So you would think... But then the mood is kind of down, isn't it? Because it's just like... It seems like they've reached their peak, I guess. It's not like they're going to go any higher.
I suppose quickly found themselves in the position Arsenal have been in for the last 5-6 years. They've burst into the top four and can't competing, but they're not going to be able to win it because they can't do that extra investment.
Yeah, it does. It also feels a little bit like they have kind of peaked it perhaps, but I don't know.
They've got a lot of good players.
I think maybe it's the they didn't spend money over the summer.
Yeah, perhaps. I think that's a big thing.
Is that because they've now just entered an era of austerity stadium because of the stadium?
Apparently so. I think that is the case, that the stadium's costing them so much that they do have to manage it.
600 million, isn't it? So that's like, if you spent that on players, that would be insane. Like, that's more than City have spent since Guardiola. So, like,
to just get in a cheeky Messi, you know?
Yeah,
cheeky. Turn around your fortune.
Yeah.
Maybe. How much is Messi's release clause?
Like a billion.
I think it might be like a billion.
Okay, so you
could, we couldn't really get cheap.
They could sell their entire team and then sell their stadium
and get Messi,
and then maybe afford Messi.
Maybe sell the stadium. They could sell
They're now used to playing on shit pitches. They can just go play at Sunday league round, but with Messi.
They might suffer a little bit from the lack of revenue from the attendance.
No, they'll Messi make it back with Messi.
So Man City, pretty much, you get the feeling now where they're going to win pretty much every game. It's like,
yeah, they go into the big games and you still think there's not even a chance.
But it's also easy for them in the big games.
Yeah. I tell you what, Mendy was very shaky, I thought. Uh-huh. He looked like a potential weak link defence. We know he's good going forward, but I wonder if...
At times they have been gotcha. Like Newcastle had a go against them.
Yeah, Wolves had a go. You didn't get the feel. You know how they used to get a bit panicky when they were under pressure? Yeah. You didn't get that feel.
We're going to have to wait and see what happens against Liverpool. Oh no, they already played Liverpool, didn't they?
Away and controlled.
And they were scared.
And nearly won it in the last minute.
They were scared. I'm going with scared. I'm going with scared. Another team who probably were scared. Burnley. I mean, Burnley 0, Chelsea 4. Chelsea still winning as well. Luke, did you watch that game?
Didn't really catch much on that one, no. Was kind of hoping you were going to come to me. Had a look at some of the goals on Reddit. I have a feeling some of them were decent goals. Ross Barkley amongst them again.
Good to see.
What a player he's turning out to be.
Good to see big boy Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Oh yeah.
Scoring a goal, admittedly not starting the game.
No, it was off the back of a Europa League hat trick as well.
What do we feel about this? Sarri obviously, you know, says, "Oh, I have so many good players. You know, I have to only pick 11 men." Blah 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 blah. I reckon it should just be a standard rule. You score a hat trick in the Champions League, in midweek,
Europa League.
Ooh. But anyway, you start the next game.
But then you've got Ross Barkley, who is making himself.
Okay, you're the coach. For me, it's like he starts the next game.
For me, no. Because you've got Jorginho, you can't drop. Kante, you can't drop. Then you've got three fighting for one place. Kovacic and Barkley have both been playing so well. I mean, Barkley played again and he scored, so it's hardly like he deserves.
What more can he do, though? What more can you do?
What more can any of them do? It's just a terrific place to be as a manager. You've got this. I mean, someone will get injured at some point.
Europa League's on Thursday.
Eh?
Well, if Europa League's on the Thursday, then you're going to want to be resting these players as well.
Not easy to just bang three goals in, even in the Europa League, you know?
I guess. I mean, yeah, you probably. And also, he played the whole game in the Europa League. It wasn't like they took him off or anything.
Beauty of a big squad.
Yeah. All right, well, that Chelsea, Burnley. This is going to happen with Burnley, isn't it, really, occasionally?
Yeah. Although they lost 5-0 last week, 4-0 this week, didn't they?
Yeah, that is.
How low are they now?
So they're 15th. They're three points off the drop zone. They've got West Ham next week. That could be a cracker at the London Stadium.
Sorry. I don't automatically think that's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, it could just be 0-0 like Southampton, Newcastle. I think we should have a rule. We just don't mention 0-0s.
No, they don't exist. Although Otto said his favourite score is 0-0.
Well, he's not here. Southampton, that's the second time they've drawn 0-0, I think.
Yeah, boring marquees. I feel we often...
Second, maybe perhaps that was another statement. Alright, this is a more exciting game. Crystal Palace 2, Arsenal 2. Mesut Ozil goes missing, Luke Stamper.
Yeah, went missing in the game and then was taken off and was not very happy about it. Just Arsenal in general were missing that game. Like, Crystal Palace easily deserved to win that one. They kind of had more of the pressure, more chances. Were quite unlucky to go down till. Wait, the first one was just a banger, and then what was the second Arsenal goal? I feel like that was like an own goal or something.
Oh no, Lacazette handballed it.
Oh yeah, hand of Lacazette.
Hand of Lacazette. That's
right. Yeah, it's like the. It felt perhaps like Arsenal. Yeah, it was all like. It was too good to be true, this 11-game winning streak, but maybe not.
Still unbeaten. I mean, like they keep saying, Liverpool is the big test.
Okay, let's talk about Liverpool, and then let's talk about the fixture next week, because there's a lot to talk about there. Luke, you're our expert you're with the gears. Let me put forward how I thought about this game in terms of the gears. Liverpool in first gear for the majority of the game. They're 2-0 up. My prediction last week, you can go back and check, was 2-0. This game was going to be 2-0, apart from then this fluky goal flicks off Van Dijk's leg. And then they're like, crap, we don't want to, you know, we got to score some goals. They end up winning 4-1. Yeah. They enter maybe fourth gear?
Yeah, I would say. I have been doubtful of what gears they had going on above third, but there was definitely a fourth gear on show. Salah? I thought he was, a few games ago, he was not, like, he wasn't looking that great, even in the last game where he scored, but then this game, he was back at it, on good form.
And also, may I say, the Champions League, sorry, as well, earlier, they scored some goals as well. Just want to get that in there.
Yeah.
All I want to add to that is, if you're playing Cardiff, do you even need to get into fourth gear to score two quick goals? Or is it like, when you're driving, I don't know, on a really slick surface, so yeah.
What is this?
You're trying to go slow, and you just can't slow down. Exactly.
You're driving on ice.
You're just so bad, you can't help it.
I was going to say about Shaqiri, I think he's really starting to look quite good. Him and Salah maybe developing an understanding. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about, but should we talk about Liverpool-Arsenal? Johnny, how do you see it going?
Simulation?
Simulation?
What? Simulation?
Sorry, hang on a second. Were you making your own simulation noise?
Well, I thought Otto wasn't here. He's normally the biggest one to go for simulation noise, so I want to, you know. taken me.
I don't know.
I actually think I did a simulation for this last week, this exact game.
Well, you can tweet us at Pilot Pundits. Did Johnny make this prediction last week?
The second prediction. And I think for that one I went for a draw, but I can only really see it being a draw. I can't change my prediction.
Give us a bit more information. It's at the Emirates. It's a 5:30 kickoff on BT Sport.
Oh, it's a late night. Well, I think it's going to start. I think Liverpool are going to start very well first 10 minutes. Salah will get a goal within 6 minutes. And then I think it will be... they've hit fifth gear. And then they find out they won't. I can... then Arsenal get one just before half time. And then you get Mane. He's just going to turn it on around like 70th minute. Get two. They think they've got it, but no, they haven't. They haven't. Ozil scores two bangers.
So you're saying, wait, two bangers?
What's the score?
Yeah, three all.
So you're saying this Liverpool side, you've only conceded 4 goals this season, are going to concede 3 goals?
Yeah, oh, I didn't mention. Alisson's getting a red card in the 5th minute.
Alisson?
Yeah.
But you said Liverpool were going to score inside 6 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an insane game.
It's a really violent celebration of the goal that gets him sent off.
It's interesting because Arsenal have been playing really well in the second half, haven't they? Mm. And Liverpool are typically very good starters in big games. So.
Yeah.
3-0 Liverpool half time, 3-3 end of game.
In fact, the Liverpool Arsenal fixtures do quite often end up as you just described, because Arsenal kind of come back into the game. I feel like maybe Arsenal haven't been tested really at the back by the likes of Liverpool's front three. But we shall see. You can tweet us. What do you think the score will be? Will Alisson get sent off in the 5th minute? Will Lacazette score 2 bangers to make it 3-3? While Luke reconnects himself to the internet, we can talk about Fulham losing... losing 0-3. Losing 0-3 to Bournemouth at home. Normally we come to Otto _ Wolf, but since he isn't here to defend... Actually, he doesn't really defend them anyway, does he?
No, he stopped watching them.
Yeah, I would stop watching them. I would say perhaps, Luke, this manager's job is under threat.
I thought Luke was still connecting.
He did send a message just saying, we back then.
He's, yeah.
Okay, maybe he's not, but we back. Jasper?
Are we talking about Fulham Bournemouth?
Talking about Fulham Bournemouth, yeah.
Bournemouth are just, they're flying, aren't they?
And then they've got a young kid, Brooks, as well.
Yeah.
Really
I'll tell you a little sad story on my part. I went to the Sheffield Derby last year because he was at Sheffield United.
Oh yeah.
And it was like he made his debut for them in that game, and he literally ran rings around our defence, and I was with a couple of other fans and they were like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And then sure enough you look up his name and he's off at the end of the year.
How much was it?
They got him quite cheaply, I think Bournemouth did. I want to say between 5 and 10 mil.
Well, he's
which for
good.
Like a 20-year-old starting every week is pretty good.
Bournemouth are looking really great. It's great scoring a lot of goals. 6th in the table. They've scored 19 goals. They're quite leaky as well. Next week, Bournemouth are going to play Man United at Bournemouth. So that'll be.
Well, should we talk about Man United?
Let's talk about Man United, Everton. Luke, you pretend to be a Man United fan. As a Man United fan, what is your opinion on this game?
Oh, is this me?
Yeah, this is you.
Yeah, so I mentioned this. I've just tuned back. My opinion on... I assume this would be Man United, Everton.
You assume correct?
Yeah. What is my... Okay... It's a bit because like they put some good stuff together at times, but like especially in the first half they made a lot of their own problems, like just trying to like play some nice possession football, but just not being on the same level as the other big teams who can actually keep the ball in their own half. for more than 10 seconds. So that a few problems. But then they gave away a bit less of that in the second half. And I guess, yeah, they did get a win against a team who have been in decent, despite not looking that convincing, which is... I feel like it's just signs that like they do have a lot of decent players. It's not necessarily signs that Mourinho is doing the right thing.
Is Romelu Lukaku a decent player?
He's definitely a decent player, you know.
Is he a good player?
He's a good player.
Is he a great player?
But are Man United better without him in the side? Johnny's gone. I mean, Luke's gone. Johnny, you want to weigh in on that?
I mean, he's not world. There is he.
World class, I think that was.
It shouldn't settle for anything. World class.
I like that. That sounds like pretty succinctly put. Good. Would you say Man United are better without Lukaku? Because the point I'm trying to make is I reckon they were better without him.
Yes, I think that it brings me on to Anthony Martial.
Ooh, yeah.
Who's been on fire recently.
What a player.
I saw Gary Neville do a long analysis of him, saying he wasn't sure whether he was a Man United level player for years. He's looked at him, he thinks he's great one week, awful the other. And they were saying he's either a 9 out of 10 or a 4 out of 10. But then Gary Neville looked at his stats and got the shock of his life. I quote.
The shock of his life.
And this shock was that Martial, in goals per and assists per 90 minutes, was like better than Kane, Aguero. Literally, out of all the strikers in the Prem, fourth.
You're going to see him on his laptop like, unbelievable. And then,
so at this point, he says, Anthony Martial, he's a Man United player.
Oh, right, but then, he's been christened.
Then he gets the shock of his life again.
Oh, what?
He looks at his running stats, and within a match, he'll run a kilometre less than like Hazard, and who doesn't is run particularly much, and all the other big names. He's running a kilometre less.
Wow.
So he's saying his problem to get into the next level is movement off the ball and his running, just his attacking runs. He doesn't care about him getting back, just his attacking runs need to improve.
Okay. Yeah, I've always been a big fan of him.
Yeah, I've always thought he's very good.
Ever since he burst onto the scene and
it's Liverpool, isn't it?
And the Martin Tyler, commentary? Yeah, he essentially celebrates the goal.
Also, the Pogba penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have a stat. Otto's not here.
You've already unleashed a couple of blinders in the stat.
Yeah, I'm on fire. Right.
So let's have another one.
Pogba's run-up took longer than it did for Usain Bolt to run 100 metres.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really good. I had heard that, but I guess a way to visualise it, if he starts as well up and Usain Bolt is like on the other goal line.
I saw two videos next to each other.
He could get into goal and save the penalty.
That's unbelievable.
Was taking it.
So, Luke, like, you've played the game at the highest level. What's the point in that run up? Alright.
Johnny?
Well, I mean, it's to get the keeper to like move and unnerve the keeper, isn't it? Or like,
so you waiting for the keeper? Are you waiting for the keeper to move?
Either way, for the keeper to move, he's just getting in his head, you know. Because like it didn't work. But then I always get fine. I think it's unfair when a keeper saves a penalty and then they get the rebound and score.
It is harsh. You know? It's harsh.
It's a harsh.
It's a tough job. It's a tough job being a keeper. Luke, you got any opinions on this penalty?
I mean, it wasn't a very good penalty. Which, run up aside, like he just put it in a place that was easy to save. Which Pogba's normally like, often he'll just bang it over the net. Which is like, if you can do that, keepers don't save it if you get it like high and off to the side.
Oh, so let's do a quick. Let's do a quick in airplane repair. What is your favourite type of penalty? So, I'm torn between an Eden Hazard, send the keeper the wrong way, just roll it gently to the other side, and a Frank Lampard smash it underneath the crossbar. Where on FIFA they would say, I don't know if he intended it to go as close to the crossbar as he did.
Yeah, they're good pens. I'm like you, I'm a big fan of the Hazard or Balotelli style.
Oh, please.
Because it's not as slow as the Pogba run-up, but they're sort of, they watch the keepers.
Yeah.
And they wait for them to go and put it the other way.
It's as good a penalty, though, isn't it? Because it's like, it's unsavable because you sent
it away. Exactly. Even though it's not in the corner.
Johnny, favourite penalty?
Yeah, I mean, I always like it when they try and do the one where you just kick it forward and your teammate runs and tries to knock it in.
Oh, right, yeah.
Is it also like...
Is that allowed?
They very often... Yeah.
Yeah, it's very rarely
done. They often fuck it up. I remember Arsenal fucked it up really bad.
Yeah, that was
that's my favourite.
It is a bit weird. It's like, why do that? You've already got an excellent opportunity to score. Like, do you need to make it any easier? It's like...
Yeah. And then when they fuck it up, it's like, wow, that was so unnecessary.
Luke, favourite penalty?
To witness or if I was to take a penalty,
Let's have witness first.
Witness. I think if somebody just like puts it in the top bins, you know, like with a decent pace. I'm gonna say they've opened up and put it like the side of their stronger foot. That's a pretty nice penalty.
Yeah. Mm. And to take?
Pretty much the opposite. I'm not risking going that close to the crossbar. We'll just go with my right foot. We'll roll it into the bottom left and hope the keeper doesn't get to it.
And
you know, it works most of the time.
Have you ever missed a penalty?
Yeah, but not in a level-a-side goal, I don't think, in a competitive setting, but in a tournament with Cheney School, where we got to the group stage, we all lost, but everyone went through, and then we had an amazing game, and we knocked out a much better school, and then we got to the final, and I went to penalties, and I hit the post with that classic tactic.
We beat the amazing school in the semi-final on penalties,
uh-huh.
And then we got to the final and played the final on penalties as well.
Bloody hell. Pickford. I just want to say Pickford, I think, has a good record on penalties. Is that an illusion or?
I don't know. He seemed to at the World Cup. Did he?
Yeah, and maybe it's just my love for Pickford. It's one of our most popular episodes, the Jordan Lord Pickford episode. If you're interested, it has 99 views, so maybe you could be the 100th listener of that episode. Episode 3. Don't forget you can subscribe to us on soundcloud.com and on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to rate us on Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will put us up the algorithms of the Apple ecosystem, perhaps. So I've heard. Maybe you're one of our new Mexican listeners and would like to get in touch. Maybe you're one of our new Turkish listeners. And let's say a special thank you to our latest subscriber, Brandy Mills. If you're out there, Brandy, tweet us. Are you real? Are you fake? No quiz this week. Because Otto_Wolf is away, so we just have to plough on with the Premier League. Watford 3, Huddersfield Town 0, Jasper.
Delafoe scored a nice goal.
Delafeo.
Like Huddersfield
rooted to the bottom.
Shouldn't be in the Prem. Just get him out of here.
Oh bloody hell.
Get out of it.
Huddersfield fans, get in touch. Do you have what it takes to stay up?
Is this also the one where they conceded that goal where, what's his name, Pereira? Like, dribbled through three of them without actually touching the ball.
What the fuck? He dribbled past people without changing the ball direction.
Weird.
Defending like that makes me sick.
Harsh words. We could talk a little bit about next week. Any exciting fixtures? Chelsea Palace could be. Palace always good game. That's at the Bridge, though. Southampton go to City, so I guess they'll get mauled 6-6 or 7-0. Can we talk about the World Cup? Because I just read that they might expand it next time.
Can they do that on that short notice?
Yeah.
It's Qatar, though.
I know.
I hate it.
Does anybody like? Let's. It's, you know, it's always good to like. You know, we want to. Obviously, we are against this idea, but let's try and see the benefits. Let's try and be positive about this. Luke, paint this idea of expanding the World Cup in its most positive light for us.
Well, you know, the World Cup is a big, exciting thing, and to be part of that has got to like. It's got to do good things for football in the country that is part of it. So by expanding it. It'll give more countries a chance to kind of get some football fever going, just more football in the world can't be a bad thing, and you might get more of those crazy underdog stories that makes, you know, because it's a game of fine margins in tournaments.
Yes,
some of those fine margins sometimes fall on the side of shit teams, and that's exciting. You know, that's not really what makes football great, but it's another aspect.
I'm not sure that makes
so bad
that,
all the time.
That doesn't,
you know,
make football great. That annoys me. It would annoy me if Angola went to the World Cup and just defended and knocked someone good out. That would annoy me.
It's going to lead to a lot of boring games, you know?
Mm.
Like, because shit teams playing good teams, they just shut down and then it's like packed the best.
Oh, that's actually...
And you already get...
Yeah, go on.
Well, you get a lot of that already at the World Cup group stages. Like, they're just going to times that by 1.5.
So I was going to say, if we're on the subject of good teams beating shit teams, obviously, you know, you can do the data analysis yourself if you want, and I reckon the facts are there to back this up, but there's, you know, so Cardiff went to Liverpool the other day. Liverpool changed maybe four of their, it wasn't their strongest lineup. I don't think it was even Cardiff's strongest lineup, because Neil Warnock before the game says, it's impossible to win here. We're not going to win. Are we just getting more and more inequality? Is that how this thing's going to go?
It looks like it in the Prem at the moment. If the gap between the top and the bottom is as big as I can remember.
Mm.
I wonder if there's a different gap coming though. We've now got like a middle range of teams, you know?
Yeah.
Before it's like top six, then everyone else could be relegated. Now we've got like Bournemouth looking pretty good. It's like a middle range.
Yeah, I guess you could make,
so maybe they get better.
You could make a case to say that Bournemouth, Watford, Wolves.
I'd say this middle team, this
Palace.
Middle group,
yeah,
is maybe as good as it's ever been as well. To be honest, like the standard now, they've really got a lot of high class players.
They do. That is true. And maybe it's just the fact that City are just so
far. Yeah.
No, but there's another stat though, I think, where like all of the top seven are on the highest ever points for that position or something ever in the Premier League.
That could make
good stat.
That sounds like a good stat.
We're filling up today, aren't we?
Yeah. Stats.
Also, slightly unrelated. A few weeks back, we talked about those Neil Warnock comments about Sol Bamba being better than Van Dijk.
Oh yeah.
Warnock has now come out and said, "I think I'd been drinking, to be honest." What I meant to say was that if Van Dijk was in our team, you'd see if he was a good defender.
What does that mean?
Okay.
I think it means Van Dijk would only be tested down there, but played for Southampton.
Yeah,
for
years, so is he saying that he doesn't think Van Dijk is a good defender?
I'm not really sure. Like he said, he been drinking. I think the quote can stop there.
We'll come out in a few
what's
more weeks
more
and say
he's not sure if he's drinking
or not. It just means he's drinking so much he can't remember if he was.
I don't remember.
Luke, what is he saying?
What's he saying?
Oh, what are you saying?
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I was just saying he might come out in a few weeks and say he was drinking when he said that as well. So you never know now. Basically, we can never trust anything he says. He might just be an alcoholic. I think that's what we should take away from that statement.
I like the sound of that. Yes. A team who looked like they were drunk at the weekend were Real Madrid. 5-1. The boss is gone. Antonio Conte is still the number one, I think, target. But
talks didn't go smooth.
So there's this thing with Ramos. Have you seen what Ramos has been saying? Ramos has said respect is earned. It's not just given. So he's not going to come to. He's not going to walk through the door. Ramos is not going to give him respect. Apparently,
I don't think a lot.
Does he do that with every manager? Like,
what's he talking about?
A good man. Like, what's his point there?
So I think his point is that Zidane came in and was like, Ramos, I want to suck your dick. And then Ramos is like, great. But Conte has a reputation for being, like, you do as I say, that kind of manager.
Yeah, I think the underlying tone is Madrid players don't want Conte because he'll make them work really hard.
They're such, like, highly strung fuckers.
Yeah, they are. They really are. Because I think Lopetegui was... He's a really highly rated manager, but he tries to play, like, a Pep kind of style. They just want to be let out and sort of play.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's really...
But they're, like, the top level. Know. It's like they...
But they haven't been in the league. They don't have that consistency, but they all turn up for the big games, I think, in the Champions League.
So, and also, so they don't want Mourinho back for that same reason.
No, they don't want him. I think now there's talk about Martinez.
Ooh, that's bizarre, isn't
it? That is, from being sacked by Everton to Real Madrid in the space of a few years. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah.
I think the players would quite like him because he's sort of that go out and play.
I think they could dominate him.
They probably would. In the dressing room, they'd bully him out in a couple of years.
So it brings me to the whole thing with Neymar. So do you see Emery said recently? Because obviously now he can talk about his time at PSG. He said something kind of slightly cryptic, like a certain clubs. You know, like it's not the manager who runs the club. So, and I think it's pretty much like Neymar's paid so much, he's so important that the high level chaps at PSG say you have to do what he says.
Yeah,
that's just dumb.
That's ridiculous. But PSG, I think, are doomed in a way because if you're a manager, because you win the league and it's still not a success because you have to win the league.
Yeah. Are football players just, you know, entitled, overpaid, and really should just listen to their boss?
Yeah, like, come on. Especially, like, Real Madrid, they're doing really shit. Like, they should have no legs to stand on, you know? I mean, I think it's completely ridiculous for players. But like it's like Rooney's come out, hasn't he, and said like Man United players need to step up the game. Like you're a professional footballer.
But then at the same time, we do give credit to like someone like Klopp because we say like, you know, he's really nice to the players. He gets them on, you know, it's all friendly and like they all love him. You know.
Well, I mean, that's like a good thing to do, definitely. And you can't fake loving a manager, but like for Ramos to be like this guy. Like scaring a manager to even walk through the door to come in.
Yeah.
That's not on, yeah.
I've heard stuff about football players changing over the years. Like 20 years ago, players would accept the manager was the boss.
Yeah.
Whereas now they want a bit more say in it and they want a better treatment. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
kind of... They're more like celebrities now, you know.
Yeah.
They've got their brand of underwear, and now they want a nice job.
shall we? Has anyone got anything else? Maybe we should take this opportunity to pay our respects to everyone at Leicester City Football Club. I don't know. It's quite difficult to talk about, but...
Real tragedy.
Yeah. It's like... And I didn't want to say... it's tempting to, like, compare him to other chairman. And it's like... I guess you can, really, because he has a reputation as quite a nice dude as well. Like, he gave money to the local hospital.
And... The people of Leicester really liked him. They said he was a very social guy.
Yeah. I think he would even come into the dressing room and kind of say...
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything they want to say? Luke?
Not particularly.
It's not really our forte, you know, this kind of thing. But it has to be done. It's just not... It's not really right. It's just... Shouldn't be...
Yeah, our thoughts go out
to
Leicester.
All right, well, Maybe we should just end. We should, like, what can we do to honour? Oh, I tell you what we can do. So let's just, Jasper, will you just talk about Leicester's miracle season?
It was
just briefly
the most remarkable season of all time. I think most people would agree. Yeah. Can't remember what the odds were at the time, but I think they were
5,000 to 1.
5,000 to 1. They were sort of tipped for relegation from many.
Yeah.
And to win the league, it was remarkable. And so many of the players have gone on to bigger clubs now. It just makes you think what a good team it was, with like Kante, Mahrez,
yeah,
Drinkwater, Vardy in his prime.
Let's play a little bit of this to end the show. This is Andrea Bocelli serenading Leicester as they are about to lift the Premier League trophy.